Second Chronicles, chapter 34. While you're turning, I want to thank Brother Ledbetter for the opportunity and the privilege to be here tonight. Thank you so much, my dear brother.
Amen.
I'm feeling little nerves too, so y'all pray for me. If you knew where I come from, this is kind of out of my... This is far exceeds what I'm normally preached to, so... But it really helped me when the Spirit of God kind of started stirring a little bit. That really helps, doesn't it, Brother Philbeck? It just helped me anyway. All right, I want to pray. My manner is to pray before I do anything. Most folks read and then pray, but would you pray with me and for me? And I'm not just... That's what you're supposed to say, but I really need your prayers tonight. So I wish you would pray with me and for me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight. And Father, you know how insufficient, inadequate I am for the task tonight. And Lord, you know if you don't help me, it'd just be in vain. It'd just be a wasted effort this evening. We can do nothing without you. I pray, Father, I'm comfortable. You give me the message you want me to deliver, but Father, I want to deliver it in the way you want it delivered. I want to deliver it in the right spirit. I pray, Father, tonight that you would open the hearts to receive, remove all hindrances, do an eternal work in our midst. Touch me and help me to say exactly what needs saying. Give me clarity of thought and speech. And do what you know needs doing. And we'll thank you. Get all the glory. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to let y'all be seated. I may need to taxi out the runway a little bit. Just kind of getting started. The Lord put on my heart, and I hope I can get it across to you. The Lord put on my heart a message concerning a very familiar character, this fellow Josiah. I guess every preacher in the building, in the house, has preached on Josiah one time or another. But that's what God has put on my heart. And here's what we know about Josiah. Josiah had a grandfather. If you'll look in chapter 33 and verse 9, the Bible says that Josiah's grandfather was Manasseh. The Bible says, so Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Now we know later on he went into captivity and he repented. But the point I'm making is that he had a grandfather for, I'd like to say, at least a good part of his life was a wicked, evil man. And then we see about his father in verse 24 of chapter 33, or verse 21, and Amon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more. Next two verses we see his servants conspired against him and slew him. So here's a man that come from a family of idolaters. His granddaddy and then his daddy. And he inherits the legacy left to him is an idolatrous nation. And he's 8 years old when he begins to reign. And here's what we would say, they will ruin him before he gets old enough to think for himself. Now, here's the point I want to make to you tonight. It looks like here is a young person and there's no hope for him. That's what I'd say. He's from a wicked family. He's living in a wicked land. He's just a kid. No doubt the leaders who led him while he was coming of age, maybe it's supposition on my part, but I would think that was some of Ammon's cabinet that helped him for a few years till he started thinking for himself. And so here's what we would say. There's just no chance that Josiah will do anything for the Lord. I think maybe there's some in our room tonight that maybe your family might not be what it ought to be. I mean, many of us have come from that background. And the devil's saying this or that to you, but can I say, regardless of what the devil says, and regardless of your background, and regardless of your circumstances, if you will allow him to, the Lord will use you. I want you to get that, because here's what happens. A lot of times you feel inferior. You feel like you don't measure up. You don't fit in with the church crowd because of your family or your background or the community you live in or whatever it is. Can I say, if you'll give it to God, God can use you. I'm proud to stand in front of you and say that. That's where Josiah, in my mind, that's where Josiah is at. If you were to look over in chapter 34, verse 27, because of his response to the word of God, he withheld the judgment of God on the nation. And so he did not do away with the judgment of God, but he prolonged God's mercy upon the people. I think that's about what we can hope for today. I believe the judgment of God's coming, but I do believe maybe, just possibly, and it's, again, speculation, I guess, but I believe God's people, if they just humble themselves and pray and seek his face, I believe he might give us a partial healing and push off the judgment of God just a little bit. Now, I understand we're already experiencing some of that. And so that's where we're at as we come to verse 34. This is the character we're dealing with. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did that which was right. And I believe we're getting a summary of his life, and then we're going to expound on that in the rest of the chapter. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father, and notice his steadfastness and his faithfulness, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Now there's a lot of young folk just in and out. Bouncing around, come a while, quit a while, come a while. I understand that, and I understand. But I'm saying to you, if you choose to, you can be faithful to the house of God and the work of God. Josiah proves that to us. And so I want us to consider how this fella, what he did in his life that allowed him to be used of God. What was it about Josiah? Did it just happen? I mean, did God just choose to use him and that happened? Or were there some specifics about his life that allowed him to be used of God? And here's what I'm saying. Maybe those same things apply to us today. The Bible says in verse 3, for in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, now the eighth year, with 8 years old when he became king, would make him 16. So he's a 16-year-old. Here's what many of us say or think. 16-year-olds can't do much for God. But I want to tell you this. Here's a man who did. Here's a young man who did. That's exactly right. Don't sit there and let somebody, some old mossy bag, backslid church member, or the devil get on your shoulder or whatever. God wants to use you tonight. That's right. God wants to use your life if you allow him to. Well, let me try to stay in the message. For in the 8th year, verse 3 of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. Now, here's who I'm talking to tonight. Those of you who have something in your heart that you want to do for God. I mean, God, I understand. And I'm already a little bit off my little outline tonight. But let me just say this. I can't put a want to in your heart to serve God. I can't do it. And some of you may be here for social reasons. You may be here for vacating. I don't know why you're here. But who I'm talking to tonight, it's those young people who deep in your heart, you want to do something for God. That has to come from God, as far as I know. I can't put that want to in your heart, but here's a young man out of a pagan family and a pagan community, and a young at that, but he gets 16 years old, and there's something in his heart he wants to know more about God. That's right. He wasn't like the other 16-year-olds. Oh no. He wasn't talking about cars. And I understand. Let me just give me liberty, a little liberty tonight. I know there wasn't cars back then. He wasn't talking about cars. He wasn't interested so much in hunting and fishing. He wasn't interested so much in playing ball or the golf course or whatever young people do today. But in his heart, there was just something stirring in his heart. He wanted to do something for God. He wanted to do something for God. And so here he goes. And so what do? You're 16 years old. You want to do something for God. Nobody really thinks you can do anything. Or at least as far as you know, nobody does. And so what do? Let's look at what he did. Just let me say a few things and I'll be through here in just a little bit. Notice the first thing it says about him in verse number 3, that he began to reach out for God. He began, I'm going to use the word reach because I'm going to literate. But the Bible uses the word seek. He began to seek after God. Now, there was something in his heart, and he began to put that into action. He didn't just sit on that. He didn't just think that's a good idea, and one of these days I'm gonna try to know more about God. He put his desire in his heart, he put it into action. I want to say to you, some of you may need to begin to seek after God. Now here's what you may be asking me. How do you do that? Well, I think first of all, we can look at a few scriptures. Number one, you're going to have to prepare your heart if you're going to seek after God. It's not always easy to seek God and find Him. That's right. It's work to do that. Young folk, are you willing to seek after God? If you're going on with God somewhere in your being, in your soul, in your life, you've got to engage in activities to seek after God. That's how it is. Now, you don't have to prepare your heart. Here's what it says. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Say, preacher, what does that mean to prepare your heart? Well, here's what I think. And some of you preachers can correct me if I'm wrong, but not while I'm preaching. If you are going to prepare your heart, I think the verse that comes to my mind is Daniel when he purposed in his heart. You're going to have to determine this. I'm going to seek after God, and I don't care what obstacles come up in my life, what mom and daddy say, or what my friends say, or what my siblings, my brothers and sisters say, I'm going to seek after God. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to purpose in your heart. You're going to have to determine, I'm going to seek after God. That's getting your heart right, young folk. So many young folk, first a little bump in the road, they fall off the wagon, so to speak. I've got a lot. Let me just say this. You're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to humble yourself. I read that second chronicle, or quoted a little bit of that second chronicle 7:14. Yet humility comes before seeking his face. You're going to have to humble yourself. Here's what you're going to have to say, young folk. You're going to have to just say, I'm just going to stir around just a little bit. Here's what you're going to have to say, young folk. You're going to have to say this, Lord, I don't know. I don't know which way to go. Most young folk don't when they get started. I really don't know, Lord, but I want to serve you. Lord, I don't know the Bible like I ought to, but I want to. Lord, will you help me? Lord, I want to seek your face. I want to be real. I want my life to count for you. Lord, would you help me? That has to be. You try to seek his face on your own and you'll fail. We can't do anything without the Lord. You see, we're preparing our heart. We can see in the book of Daniel, he said his, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to pray. Young folk, if you're going to seek the face of God, you're probably going to find him in the prayer closet. I don't know what y'all think. I don't know why I'm just preaching over here to you all. Let me switch over here. You're going to have to pray. Let me tell you something, young folk. The hardest thing you ever did is to pray. The devil will fight you more on prayer than he will anything. But you're going to have to pray. You say, I've tried and I can't do it. Ask God to help you to pray. That's right. I get down to pray now and I can't pray. First thing I say, Lord, help me to pray tonight. Don't let me just go through the motions. Help me to pray. Amen. And so the first thing that Josiah did specifically, and I mean, there may have been some other things, he prayed. Matthew, there's some promises to those that seek the Lord. Here's what it said. I'll give you a couple in the New Testament. Seek and ye shall find. You say, I can't find God. You're not seeking him like you ought to. The Bible says, seek and ye shall find. You want God, if you'll seek him, you'll find him. If you'll stay with him, By the way, that's with your whole heart, your whole soul when I say that. You know, young folk, I wonder sometimes how many young people are really serious about seeking God. I mean, I don't know how many young folk we got here, maybe 200 something, 250. I don't know. I don't know, Brother Ledbetter. But the fact of the matter, out of that crowd, there may just be a handful seriously seeking God. The rest of you may just be putting on front. I don't know. But God does. There's some promises. Hebrews 11 said, those that diligently seek Him, He'll reward them. You can count on that. And so we see the first thing. Here's a 16-year-old boy that folks at one time would have said, he's not going to do anything. But God put something in his heart and he began to seek after God. He determined or purposed to seek God. He humbled himself. No doubt he prayed. He had it in his heart to get in the presence of God. He acted on what was in his heart. I wonder if anybody in their heart tonight wants God. Put away all the junk. Don't put away the facade and the suits and the ties. And let's just be honest tonight. Don't you think that's the way we can get some help if we'll just be honest with God? Here's what I say. I wonder who really wants God tonight. The Bible teaches if we do, we can find Him. And so there was a reaching out for God. But I want you to look, the Bible just breaks his life down in segments. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. But when you begin to seek after God, God will start doing things in your life. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. I call that removing things in his life. Can I say to you, young folk, if you're serious about God, God's going to come to you from time to time and he's going to put his finger on something in your life and he's going to say this, that's got to go. That's right. It's got to go. I suspect sitting in this room as many young people as there is, some of you know right now there's something in your life that needs to go. I can't prove that, but I highly suspect that. That's right. I really suspect with what adults is in this room, there's things that God's put his finger on and said, if you're going on with me, that needs to go. That's right. I believe I'm preaching it right. He began to get rid of some things that was in his life that didn't need to be there. Now, in our text, it was idolatry, the sin of idolatry, what he dealt with. But can I say, all sin you're going to have to deal with in your life. Here, I guess I could spend a lot of time on this. You're going to have to deal with the sins that God puts his finger on. And you may go a while before God just says, hey, that's got to go. We call it, we use this big phrase, progressive sanctification. But the fact of the matter is, God along the way says that's got to go out of your life. Amen. Young folk, listen to what I'm saying tonight. If you're serious about going on with God, what I'm telling you is right. Amen. You've got to do that, and if you try to shortcut it, it won't work. It will not work in your life. There's things that if you're going on with God, you've got to get rid of those sins, those little foxes that spoil the vine. They've got to go from your life if you're going on with God. Amen. Amen. Well, not only that, but can I say the weights need to go? What is it? Should put this scripture down. I thought I did. Maybe I'm overlooking it. Over in Hebrews, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You've got to lay aside. Some things are not sin, but they're holding you back. I can't turn to a verse and say that's sin in your life. Thou shalt not. But the fact of the matter is, and you know it, if you'd be honest, it's holding you back spiritually. That's right. It's holding you back. Young folk, what's holding you back? Come on, be honest with me tonight. Don't, let's not play games. There's too much game playing in the church. What's holding you back? Let me give you an example, if I can. You remember that fellow named Abraham? Abraham, the Lord come to him one day and said, "Buddy, you gotta." That might have sounded sacrilegious. I didn't mean that way. Abram, you gotta leave your homeland. I mean, that's where he grew up. That's where his safety was. That's his safety zone, so to speak. I mean, that's headquarters. If he had people there who would help him. And God said this, you got to leave. And so he started, and you got to leave your family. And of course, there's a lot of debate over Terah and Lot going with him, who was right and what was right. And I'll leave that up to you. But he starts walking with the Lord. My folks heard this 100 times. I guess, but I don't know a better example. And so he starts walking, and he gets down to Haran, and he can't go any farther. He's stuck. And his daddy had to go out of his life. He did not go on with God until Terah passed away. When Terah passed away, here he goes again, going on with God. Terah's his father. No doubt he went with him to look after him, protect him. And no, I'm thinking, Terah, see, if you're going to be this foolish, I'm going to go and try to look after you a little bit. But Terah hindered him. It was a weight in his life. Y'all know the story. Went a little farther. Who else had to go out of his life? Lot. Nephew. That's the one he looked after. That may be like a son to him in some ways. Lot had to go. When Lot went, Abraham went on. What are you talking about? I'm talking about weights in your life. Things that will hinder you. Really, the Bible, you won't find a verse that said, "Thou shalt not," but because it hinders you spiritually, the Lord will put his finger on it and say, "That's got to go." Yes. Lot left. Ishmael and Hagar had to leave. And he thought Isaac was going to have to go. Can I just ask you, what's holding you back? You know. You know, I don't know, but you know. You know if anything's hindering you spiritually. And here's what God said. Here's what God teaches in His Word. Those things need to go. They need to be laid aside. And you know the funny thing? Let me just make this little point while I'm at it. You know those weights in Abraham's life? You know who it was primarily? Young folk, listen to me. People. It was people that had to go out of his life. I mean, think about that, brother. It was family members that had to leave his life.
Right.
That's what makes this thing of laying aside so difficult. Many times it's family. Don't you reckon, I believe I got the names right, Amnon, don't you reckon he wished he'd have got Jonadab out of his life? I bet he would if it's possible to talk to him. I bet he'd say this, I wish I'd got him out of my life. As sure as I'm standing here, God give me this little message. And here's what I'm saying to you, young folk. Many of you have people in your life that's hindering you. And you may not have a choice on some of the situations, being young. But if you do have a choice, and it's hindering you spiritually, it'd be wise for you to get them out of your life. I'm telling you right. Well, let's look in verse number 8. Let me go on. I need to finish up so the brother can come. We saw a reaching out. We saw that. We saw a removal of some things in your life. Now we're going to look at a repair. Notice verse 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land, purging comes before rebuilding. When he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. There was some things that had broken down. And he could not serve the Lord like he should because they were broken down. The house of the Lord was the temple was the house of the Lord, let's use that, was critical for true worship during that time. In other words, there's things in your life that has to be maintained if you're going to serve God like you should. Young people, I'm talking to somebody that in their heart they want to do something for God. That's who I'm talking about. If you don't, this won't mean nothing. This won't mean anything to you. But if you're serious, there's some things that have to be torn down. There's some things that have to be built up. My, that's just... You say, preacher, what has to be built up? How about your prayer life? How about Bible reading and Bible study? How about your zeal for God? My, that's something I have to fight, being an old man. I have to fight this thing. Sometimes my zeal gets waxed over. And it's not what it ought to be. My, maybe that's where you're at. You've got your eyes off of the Lord and on something else, and your zeal has began to slip away. Your zeal, maybe your love for the Lord needs some repairing. Maybe your faithfulness is not what it ought to be, and it needs to be repaired. Our work ethic. And you can just go on and fill in the blanks with whatever you want. But the fact of the matter is, in our lives, things break down. They just break down along the way. And it's our fault, but we get out of focus. We have a flesh to deal with. We just have this and that. And sometimes things break down, young people. But when God brings that to your attention, you have a responsibility to repair. Amen. Let's go to, I believe it's verse 18 of chapter 34. I want to give you one more. We see a reaching out to the Lord, a removing, a repairing. Then we see a receiving of the Word of God. a receiving of the Word of God. You know the story. They found the book. The Bible says in verse 18, then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. I mean, it tore him up. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Abdon the son of Micah and Shaphan the scribe and Asaiah serving the king, saying, go inquire the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that's poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Now my point here is this: when the word of the Lord was declared, he took that seriously. I mean, I think it's one of the pitfalls of church-going children. They hear preaching and preaching and teaching and teaching, and then for some reason it just kind of gets dull too. That's not the case. That's not the case with Josiah. Had Josiah heard Matthew 6:33, he would have took it serious. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here's what some of y'all say: are you kidding me? You mean seek God first? Man, I've got a life to live. I've got things to do. Josiah wouldn't have done it. He was a young man. But had he heard that, he would have said this: we got to put God first. He's got to be first at all cost. We've got to put him first. He took the word of God seriously. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Had he heard that, he wouldn't have just rolled that over and said, man, that's a good concept and something to think about. He'd have said this: I've got to present my body to God. I mean, God told me to present my body a living sacrifice. I've got to do that. He took the word of God. See, he received it for what it was. I'm afraid we take God's word way too lightly. Young people, you probably learned it from the adults. I'm ashamed to say that. I very often say this, and maybe I'll make some of you mad when I say it. I'm not so sure we have a young people problem as much as we have a parent problem. Amen. Instead of having a youth meeting, Brother Ledbetter, we might ought to have a parent meeting. That's right. Young folk, here's all I'm saying. Take the word of God serious. If God spoke to your heart in this meeting already, or tonight, or when Brother Philbeck gets up, or however long the meeting's going, when God speaks to your heart, don't take it lightly. Don't just dismiss it. God's serious. He's not playing games. He's serious. 2 Corinthians 6, be ye not unequally yoked together. Man, I could just keep going. You know, you preachers know verses coming to your mind right now that you can say we read those and we don't take them as serious as we ought to. By verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 6, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate. Young folks, separation is a critical doctrine if you're going to live victorious for the Lord. It's critical. Let me give you one more and I'm through. I'm through tonight. Verse 31 of chapter 30, 34. Now, we've talked about a reaching out, a removing, a repairing, a receiving. But now I want to talk about a resolve. A resolve. A resolve means you determine. There's a resolve. Notice verse 31. And they've been to see the prophetess, and she's told them, gave them the message from God. Verse 31, and the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes. Listen, young people, with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. Here's what he said. Come whatever, we're going to keep the word of God. That's right. There's a resolve. I just wonder those who really are interested in seeking God, I wonder if you'd just resolve in your heart, I'm going to obey the word of God. My mom and daddy might, my brother and sister might not, my schoolmates might not, if you're in school, in a public or a Christian school, but I'm resolving in my heart, no matter what comes or goes, I'm obeying God. Here's what I'm asking tonight, not through. Are you serious? Are you serious about seeking God? Are you serious about serving God? Chapter 34 and verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Are you serious? Are we just playing? Are we just here to shout it out? And just go through whatever church people go through at youth meetings? Are we serious about it? Is there a young person in here who is serious about serving God? I'm going to turn it back over to the preacher. I'm going to pray. And Brother Ledbetter, if you'll come while I pray, I'll let you do what needs doing. Our dear Heavenly Father, I've tried to obey you. I've tried to, the best of my ability, do what you'd have me to do. Now, Father, I pray you move on those hearts. And, Father, you help. You help these young folks to resolve in their heart they're going with you. Now be with the preacher as he continues the service. Father, you get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.